All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I hate to break the fishing news up here, M-Chuck, but I'd like to speak about the ice hockey.
Congratulations, you're one of the 13 listeners of the Real Life Podcast.
We just traded a migraine in for, like, an orgasm.
Might want to mark that down, here, M-Chuck.
Yep. All of my projects are on schedule until they're not.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
About as funny as we're going to get today.
Back. First episode in a week.
Yeah, we had too tight of a time window there to try to squeeze one in on Saturday.
Yeah. Like,
we had to be at Devil's Advocate at 11 a.m.
I know. We could have maybe banged out
30 minutes.
We have to host
the trip. We have to go for breakfast.
47 hours in the desert. It just wasn't enough time to make that much content.
Normally we have an extra day.
Welcome into Real Life. Today's episode brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross. There's only one thing better than sharing memories, and that is making new ones. Alberta Blue Cross travel insurance protects your memories and more wherever your travel takes you. Visit ab.bluecross.ca/travel for more information. Our Nation Vacation brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross. This will be, well, the first time the three of us at least are talking about it on a pod. So our official recap, Wanya is here too.
Hello.
Well, I'd like to give you your change.
Oh, is that why you were laughing before the show? Thank
you.
Give you
your change.
That's very good.
This whole mini golf bet thing went on a long time. One of my favorite things was watching Jay collect his money from Tyler.
It took a while to get my money.
So what happened was we played mini golf. Me, Jay, Chalmers, Rick were in a group. Chalmers is still in Arizona, right?
Yeah, he's coming back today.
And we decided everyone chip in $50. First place will get 150. Second place keeps their money. Third and fourth got to pay up. Jay ran away with the thing. Just dominated. Chalmers came in last.
Yeah, didn't you lead by like 5-6 strokes?
Yeah.
It was kind of tight on the first 18, the second 18. I think I can play better with my booze than you can.
Yeah, that's probably a good point.
So anyways, Chalmers had some epic blowups.
He did. Like he had some fives and sixes on the scorecard on mini golf. That's ugly. Anyway, so I owed you $50. I didn't bring any US cash with me because I just used my card or whatever.
How'd that go?
Well, not great. So the next day we're at Devil's Advocate and you're like, you owe me $50. You're on the show and I see there's an ATM at this bar.
No, you're like, well, if only there was an ATM here, I'd pay you in the bar. And then someone pointed out there is an ATM.
So I go over to that ATM and I try my credit card, put it in, enter in whatever. Nope, rejected, spits it out. And I'm like, what the hell? So I try it again. Nope, spits it out. Okay, I'm going to try my debit card. Okay, put it in,
They threw.
We should never take money on your credit card.
Oh, sorry. I did the reverse. Sorry. Okay. I did my debit card first. It wasn't working. Spit it out. Then I was like, fuck it. I'm going to pay the cash advance fee just to get out of this. And I'm going to use my credit card. Nope. Spits it out. Try it again. Spit it out. So I have tried on this ATM 4 times. I'm like, you know what? Amber and I have a shared card. She won't mind. Put in that card. Nope. Spits it out. So this ATM is clearly whatever. There are Oilers fans all over watching me try 3 cards, 5 times at an ATM. Like, I just looked like an absolute moron.
Times are tough.
It was not good. And we went somewhere else that day too. And my Visa card kept getting declined.
International shit, man. I'm a victim of this all the time. Go somewhere and I have like no money to my name, apparently.
Yeah, it's like ridiculous. So I still couldn't get Jay's money, whatever. Next day comes, go to the airport. I walked around that entire airport. I was going to Terminal A, Terminal C. I found 2 ATMs, tried my Visa card and my debit card. Neither of them work. I then later find out that they paused my Visa card because they were like,
too many attempts.
Who keeps trying these ATMs in Phoenix, Arizona?
Did you call them and let them know you were leaving?
No. I know. So I tried all of it, couldn't get it. Finally, yesterday on my way into work on Wednesday, I just went to the actual bank and I got my Visa card unpaused and I took out, they couldn't give me $50. So then I had to give Jay $60 in American cash. And then finally I got.
And he said it was interest. I said, no, I only won 50 from you. I will get you change.
So now I have 10 American dollars that I'm sure I'll use soon.
But it was also fun while you were waiting for him to pay you. And like any bill you got, you would just kind of push over to Tyler.
Yeah. And then you wouldn't pay it.
Yeah.
No, because I said, I'm going to pay you the right way. I'm not going to half-ass this. I'm going to come through on my word.
I had to work a little bit from Chalmers to get my money too. Thankfully, his wife was there. Keeps him honest. And she helped navigate that situation for me.
Yeah, so that was one of the fun little stories during our 47 hours in the desert.
Now, there's one specific time of your trip, because I'm watching all the content. Glorious. Can you please tell me about the self-driving car?
Ah, yes.
That thing was great.
The Waymo. That was a hoot.
So we get to Arizona. We're waiting. Our hotel didn't have our rooms ready, which actually ended up being a blessing.
Yeah, it was great.
Because we ended up going for lunch, having a cocktail, just kind of meeting a bunch of people. And as we're walking back from a mall that was near our hotel to the hotel itself, we see a car with all the spinning cameras and everything everywhere. Realize there's no driver in the car.
So it had like kind of the same thing that the Google cars have on top.
But like times,
I thought it was like a Google Maps car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what I thought it was too. Yeah, but it had like that times 10. There was cameras everywhere.
Yeah, just
spinning things, spinning buzzing things everywhere.
All over the place.
That's the radar.
We then found out that you could rent those like an Uber. Because one of the trip goers, Mainlander Tim, had done it. And he goes, you guys got to get in. It's the weirdest thing.
So there's a new app. You download the
Waymo.
Waymo.
Is that a Google company?
It is.
Yeah, it's a Google
company. I believe it is.
Okay. Yeah.
So guy in the car driving?
No.
The first
machine
one
on the seat?
No.
The first empty one I saw, seat. Empty car, totally. Just empty car cruising down the road.
Oh my fuck. What'd that feel like?
Because there was no passenger in it. So I drove past. I was like, what was that? And then I started filming people who were in them thinking they were just like Google scientists or whatever. Yeah. Some guy flipped me the bird. I'm like, well, that's not a friendly scientist. Get back to the hotel, find out they're Ubers. I'm like, oh, I understand why that guy probably didn't want me filming him in that car.
So, so you get in one.
Yeah.
What's the experience like? Do you feel
crazy? Well, we'll talk about, well, because we were in two different ones.
Two different ones.
And we had an interesting experience for two reasons. We had luggage. So we had to put it in the trunk.
Yeah,
which initially was just normal, but when we got dropped off, like automatically opened, knowing that you had your stuff in the trunk. But we crammed in Tyler, Rick, myself, and your cousin.
Yeah, Jake.
And so we're three in the back, three burly men in the back, and Rick doesn't clip in, and we're driving. All of a sudden, the phone, like the car, starts ringing. And it's like, hello, this is Cynthia from Waymo.
Seatbelt?
Yeah, we noticed that
come on.
One of your passengers isn't wearing a seatbelt.
So like, all she does all day long is call Waymo drivers and tell them to buckle up?
Yeah.
The new economy is awesome.
Because you kind of look in there and you see cameras everywhere kind of pointing around the car. Because there's
zero drinking balls.
Yeah, because initially we were like, wow, a couple of roadies in
this robot don't know
car?
Shit. Yeah.
You can't bang in the driverless cars.
You can't sit in the driver's seat in the driverless car either.
Yeah.
Four people max.
Don't even get me started on banging in the front seat of a driverless car.
Can't do it.
I'm saying.
Don't touch the wheel either.
So if you got your Drake out, what would the car pull over and stop?
Be like, hey, put your penis away.
But this is how I roll, Cynthia.
From Waymo.
Cynthia, I'm on vacation.
I would like to ask you to put your penis away. Yeah,
please hide your weapon.
Wow.
Sir.
You can get in with weapons, though. That's fine.
So we were on Instagram Live. So we were kind of distracted during the whole thing. So I honestly kept kind of forgetting that there was no driver. Like, you feel incredibly safe. It's the smoothest ride.
Initially, you're like, this is weird. This is weird. Yeah. And I'm like, well, this thing's keeping on the rails. It was going always the exact speed limit. What was interesting is when it dropped us off. So it drops us off in the parking lot, Devil's Advocate, and then does a little U-turn. And then it has to make a left turn onto a busy road. And like, negotiated it perfectly.
There was cars in the right lane, yeah, and it just seamlessly slid into the left lane and went.
Yeah.
So do you think that you've seen the future, or do you think it's always going to be niche?
I can't wait till I have no driver.
So do you think it's going to flip?
Well, finally, the driver wasn't talking too much, right? It was just a nice, peaceful ride. Let us do our business.
So an interesting thing, and a bunch of people were talking about, like, what's the future of this when like, they take over? Would there be any reason for a household to have more than one vehicle?
Well, the idea is down the road that you would not own a vehicle.
Yeah, you would just call this.
Have a share of a Benz. And it's shared amongst, because cars are only on the road like 10% of the time or something. It's some shockingly small number. So in the future, everything's getting more expensive, inflation, yada, yada, yada. You subscribe to the car. You don't own the car.
That's fair.
Is the idea.
Yeah. Like in a year, you buy 50 hours in the car and you use it or whatever it is. Yeah.
And as long as you're like not driving on peak times all the time, you can probably.
But we were also talking about like picking up a grocery order. Send a driverless car and then the driverless car will be delivering pizzas.
So I was in the car with Chalmers. Our exit from the parking lot was a little janky. The car would kind of like went to make a turn and it was kind of wide. So it 3-point turned itself back into where it needed to be. Chalmers was in the front seat, not happy about this.
Of course not.
Thought the car couldn't navigate the turns. Sure. And then all of a sudden we're at there. It's got the signal light on and away we go. And it burns out of the parking lot onto the main street. And then it settled in. But for that first couple of minutes, it is wild. But then there was other things that happened. Like there was just a tow truck driver pulled over on the side of the road. And so we're like, how's the robot car going to figure it out? Just beautifully navigates around it back in its lane. No big deal. Slows down for pedestrians and crosswalks. Completely freaky.
And it was a Jaguar.
For whatever reason, Google only drives Jaguars.
Look, you think Google's fucking around here? What do you think? What are you going to get? A K car with a goddamn Waymo in it? Let's go. Top of the line Jags.
It was awesome.
One of the reasons why the market cap of Tesla is so high is that their self-driving car software is at such a lead on all the other softwares in the world for driving hours. And so just imagine a jillion hours on all these Tesla cars and they're all learning from each other. So if something really crazy happens to one Tesla and it gets in an accident, there's like an accident log and the whole herd learns, right?
Like the Borg.
Yeah. So you have to think, like, do you think they'll be able to drive them in inclement weather?
That was my thing too. That's like icy roads.
Well, but can they just compute icy roads and being like in Edmonton today, the average stop is 67 feet and I'm a smart car.
Black ice is so unpredictable. Now, is it? It's the learning of what of doing the right thing. Should you hit that?
Yeah.
Or knowing if you're going into a bridge on a high or, well, yeah, should you slow down? I don't know. There's probably a lot of learning still to be had maybe in those. And I'm sure there's testing galore in certain pockets of the world in those kind of conditions.
This is one of the arguments of why Tesla is worth more than all the other major car companies combined, despite the fact that they don't sell as many as like Toyota Corollas sell more globally than all Teslas. But Tesla's worth like 20 times what Toyota's worth. It's this software that they're saying, the self-driving software, they're going to license to all vehicles because they have the amount of hours to be able to get them.
Well, and Tesla itself, because like every Tesla can be self-driving right now.
Like I don't understand because like I've read stuff
that doesn't have the spinny things on
exactly.
It.
And I've read that like there's been problems with the self-driving stuff. And even if you get the self-driving Tesla, you're still supposed to drive. Like you're supposed to be in the driver's
seat. Well, when I had the Alfa Romeo,
your guy didn't have
it had self-driving on it. And if you took your hands off the wheel, it would turn off the system, be like flashing at you.
That's not self-driving.
No,
what you had was self-driving.
Yeah. This one was
so maybe like, it must only be in certain places where it's allowed to happen.
There's no, certain states are allowing these like trials to be.
Yeah. Run. Yeah. So obviously Arizona.
But to go ripping up 40 miles an hour on like the freeway, like the through town in a car with no driver is bananas.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Remember when we went to that solar city or whatever in the Middle East, right?
Yeah.
So they had like this demonstration city of the future, but it was kind of more like Futurama world at bloody Six Flags. Like, it didn't claim to be that the whole world was going to live like this,
yeah.
But they had self-driving cars.
Yeah.
But you kind of knew
it was like their elevator to get you from building to building, yeah. As they called it. Yeah.
But you didn't really get the sense that like this thing could drive onto the road and take us home. No. But the one you're in,
it was
how long were we in Dubai? Is it 2016?
2015.
So in 9 years, you went from that one being the absolute pinnacle to driving on a trip in a busier city in a legit self-driving car.
Just in an app you can download and book it and away you go.
So is it 10 more years till we're driving self-driving cars at scale?
Till every Uber is a self-driving car?
Well, Uber bullshits in their disclosures and in their pitch that they want to turn into a fleet of self-driving cars one day, but I don't really see that being truthful. Like, I don't think Uber really thinks it's going to buy 60,000 cars one day and flood the streets like they're all bird scooters.
They can raise the money, though.
That's true.
And then once you cut the driver out of the mix, it's a profitable business for them.
What, if you could find a way to make the average car drive 30% of the time during the month instead of 10,
yeah,
there's a huge savings. You don't need garages anymore. I remember one time going to a thing that was talking about if self-driving cars scaled, how roads can shrink. Because the lanes are wide enough now, they make accommodations for people being terrible drivers.
Yep.
But if you actually had self-driving cars at scale, they could be like 1 inch off each other's bumpers on the highways.
Like the Jetsons. Shit.
Yeah. It's cool, man. It's cool to see technology for the first time. I'll never forget one time when I was in junior high, my dad came home with a first cell phone. And it was a box with a strap over his shoulder. And he brought it in and put it down. And I'm like 12. Like, what's that? And he's like, that, my friend, is a phone you can bring with you anywhere you want. And I was like, but how does it plug into the wall? And he was like, it doesn't. I remember just being like, when I saw you guys in the self-driving car, I was similarly gobsmacked. I didn't think they were that ready. I didn't think they were that far along.
Yeah.
So how'd you know to download the app?
Mainlander Tim sourced it all.
Yeah, boy, Mainlander Tim had done one the day before.
Yeah.
And we were just, we were just sitting around having a cocktail talking about these cars driving around with no drivers. And he just goes, you know, you could rent one of those and just cruise around if you want. No. Yeah. So we like Jay and I were in the morning. We're like, well, we kind of have to do it.
And it wasn't even expensive. Like it was similar to an Uber.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Totally cheaper. Comparable to an Uber.
I remember the first time I got into an Uber being like, this is really how this works. Hey, some jackass is going to drive up here. I'm just going to get into his car. Am I? And not be murdered. Am I?
Now I can like barely ever be in a cab again. A, because I always walk out on it.
Yeah, that's my problem too. I always leave the cab and they'll like lock the door. I'm like, what's going on, man? You got paid, Playboy.
Google has a self-driving car unit and they hired all these really smart people and they gave them these really good compensation packages. And almost uniformly, they earned their money, got their earnouts and left. And the self-driving car group at Google is like largely disbanded. Because a lot of their team left and they went to go work for well-funded startups that wanted to try to attack this space. Right. And I remember reading a bunch of stuff about this and they're just like, this is Google talking. They're like, self-driving cars are just so far away. Like the computing power required. This is why you need 5G. The real value of 5G for society is like the Internet of Things and having the ability to have a self-driving car. It's just crazy that like Google 8 years ago couldn't solve this. And you guys are riding around and bloody self-driving cars. It
was the easiest app to sign up for because you just sign up with your Gmail.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, boom, everything was there. Like, I didn't have to put in my credit card. I didn't have to do anything. I could do with Apple Pay because it was immediately plugged in my Apple Pay.
It was just, well, I was sitting there in the car and we're driving along and we're almost at the bar and you can see it and it's navigating perfectly and it's talking to you as you get close to your destination. It goes, just so you know, the destination is on the left. You should exit the car on the right side. Like it was all banana stuff.
When you get in, was it like, good morning, Mr. Bond?
On the screen.
Welcome, Christopher.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Please enjoy your ride.
And then you sit in. Once you sit in, you push the button and go. And then
all I can think about is like the code base and all the people that got me in a car with no driver.
It's an enormous amount of work, Matt.
Wild stuff.
It's an enormous amount of work. Shout out humanity. We're not all morons.
Not
only our best and brightest are pushing life along.
There was a lot of future moments on this trip. Not only were we in an autonomous car, got beers to go at the airport. The future is now.
To go like on a plane?
You can do it. So at the airport, Bag Milk and I were blown away when we were going to like Vancouver the summer. When at like 7 a.m., lady walked up to the counter at Chili's and was like, can I get a Heineken to go? And they poured her a Heineken in a plastic cup and she just walked out. So BM did it.
So I did it. Beer, a road beer for the plane. Why not? The future is now.
When the future shows up, you very rarely see it coming. It's just like one day. You're on a trip and a fucking self-driving car picks you up.
Yep. And you're drinking a beer just in the middle of the hallway at the airport.
Yep. Standing at my gate, finishing off my beer. Delightful.
Now, my second question about your trip was the kiss heard round the world.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
That guy's a beaut? A Christopher Palmer guy?
The interesting thing about Chris Palmer, yes, he is. But he left me a message on Better Late Than Never yesterday. I was doing my trip recap episode. And he just goes, you know, I'm an introverted guy. And it just, you guys were all so welcoming. And he's telling this story about being an introvert. And all I could think about is like, you grabbed Captain Felton by the face and gave him a big smooch in front of everybody. Good for you, sir. But yeah, he was great. He was on TV a lot because he spoke to Gene about kind of following the team around a little bit.
Yeah, they did a feature on him, I guess, on the game. I haven't seen the feature yet.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
I was like, is that because he kissed Captain Felton? Did he kiss his way into a feature?
Pre-kiss. A lot of Christopher Palmer.
Yeah.
Christopher Palmer.
He was having a good time.
That, I don't know how many views that got. But that's up there for the most like hilarious moments in nation history.
So it was interesting to be there in real time because I was, despite the fact that I was three people away from the kiss, I didn't see it.
It was right beside me. I didn't even see it.
Yeah.
I was watching it over. I'm like, I don't think Jay realizes the momentous thing going on.
So, but to hear it circle the group around us, like Christopher Palmer's like, oh my God, my phone's blowing up. Then Captain Felton's like, I think that was on TV.
Captain Felton's so happy. I'm sure this is the moment.
Oh, he's
dressed as the captain. He's on Sportsnet. It's happening.
He had just got literally moments before that. He had just got Louis DeBrusque to sign his rookie card that he brought with him.
That he wears as a necklace.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, like Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, he has a Pokemon, right? He wears that as a Pokemon. Wow.
Yeah. So we were just cruising around the concourse. And the wild thing about Mullet Arena is the media is just right there.
So like when you're walking just to get your beer, from me to Jay away from you is Jack Michaels calling the game. Yeah. So like, you know, in the Oilers lower bowls, there's like the lower bowl. Then there's like those drink rail seats. That's the credentialed media area at Mullet Arena.
Well, yes.
Yeah. So
yes, you're right.
Yeah. They were the drink rail.
With a lot less seats.
A third of the seats in the lower bowl. And then just a drink rail where like people are sitting on their laptops working.
So we're walking by and Captain Felton, before we got to the arena, goes, oh, I really hope I see Louie. I'd love for him to sign this rookie card. We're just walking by. He's just right there. Turns around. Nice guy. Took a picture, signed his card.
So when you're now, you're in the Mullet Arena, you've experienced it. It's not like it's a here for a good time, not a long time. Like, thank God you were there to see a 4,500 person NHL
it's
game.
It's not sustainable, but that is probably one of the best NHL experiences I've ever had.
It was
you're at Kraft Hockeyville or some shit.
Yeah, like you'll never be able to duplicate it, right? Yeah. Like it was like with how like small the lower bowl was, like how steep it was, it felt like you're standing over top the ice.
Oh, so it's a steeper bowl?
Like a little bit steep. It's a little bit steep and it's I don't know how many rows.
What was it designed for? Like university 20? Lacrosse practice?
No, at ASU hockey.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so then for to ASU have, hockey, it's what? 70% Oilers fans in there, 65%.
How did it sound on TV?
Dude, if you're Arizona and that's how big your arena is and everybody's the opposing fans, it's time to move to Utah. Like, that's fucking outlandish. It looked like an Oilers game.
It was a home game in another country.
The one goal, I can't remember which goal it was, but like everybody stood up and everyone's in an Oilers jersey. It did not look like you were in
a Zach game. Lang clipped a picture, just like a still from the broadcast. That was our section. And when you're in there, you didn't really get the scope of how many Oilers fans were just in this one chunk, but it was just a wall of blue and orange.
Yeah.
And there would just be like one or two little Coyotes people sitting amongst us.
There's an old guy like four rows in front of us wearing a Coyotes jersey. I think once the Oilers went up two, he took it off and he was wearing a McDavid jersey.
Aha!
It's great.
We got him.
It was fantastic. Great place to watch a barn. Ultimately embarrassing for the NHL.
But you kind of knew like...
Yeah, like you knew it was going to be, yes.
Like but was it just small or was it rinky dink? Like it seems like it's a nice arena, like, just small.
Like the building, the structure itself on the outside just looks like this, like
it looks like a rec center.
Yeah.
It looks like you're walking into a theater.
It doesn't blow you. You walk in, you're like, it still feels like a rec center. And then all of a sudden you walk up and go to your seat, like, there's the Edmonton Oilers. Like, this is what the hell they do.
The rinky dink stuff was like, if you wanted to buy Coyotes merch, it was like going to a Riverhawks game where they just kind of had like little pop-up shops around a the concourse.
Yeah.
A little table and a couple of hats.
Like Jumbotron or whatever you want to call it was tiny.
Like the size of these monitors.
I went to an Ottawa Senators game after they were awarded their team, but before the Correll Center opened.
Oh, wow.
So the Ottawa Civic Center, I think it was called.
Okay.
I think I had about 9,000 people in it, but I was really little. I didn't have like
a frame of reference.
I had no frame of reference, and like Radic Bonk was playing and shit like that. But like, it's such a colossal mismanagement of the team that they're playing there, man. They just didn't pay their rent at their stadium. It's not like it was imploded or another team moved in. They're just like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's wild, but like, I'm very thankful that it happened.
Yeah, it's a so cool great. Moment.
But like, yeah, so no, like, you see, you're like, wow, like you see, you're like, they're moving.
Yeah,
there was two pieces of it for me that was just like amazing. Check a hockey experience off the bucket list. Yeah. One, going to see an Oilers game in an arena that small. Yeah. That was just wild in itself. But leaning up to the game starting, we were all kind of wondering, like, I wonder how many Oilers fans are going to be in there. And then as more people started to come to Devil's Advocate or just walk by the bar towards the arena, because you could just walk there, we went, maybe it's 40%. All then of a sudden it turned to 50%. And then you walk in, you go, holy fuck, it's all Oilers fans in here. There's no one else in here. It was wild. It was crazy.
And the game was solid too.
Second period outside.
From an entertainment perspective, well, it was a roller coaster.
A little drama, you know. Yeah. I was a little salty after the second period, but
a lot of us were. I got quiet in there.
Yeah, I did get quiet, and then the third period, you know, brought us the joy we deserved.
Yeah, that was good. Oh, some people saw Cam McDavid there.
Yeah, Cam McDavid was there.
People were sending us photos.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, it's so small. Everyone's like, Cam McDavid just sitting over there. Like, oh yeah, there he is.
He looks
like,
over. Hey,
yeah. Like, it's like, yeah, like there was no hiding in that arena.
No.
No, not at all. But the other thing too, like 4,500 and the concourse was still so small.
It was very small.
It was you couldn't go anywhere during the intermission.
Well, the hack was to go to the hot chicken place.
Yeah.
Because they sold. No lineups. Get drinks, get hot chicken.
I got matzo bites. Delicious. That was legit.
You guys also saw the autonomous store in Seattle.
They have one in LA too, at Crypto.
But just thinking about like going to hockey games.
The future's now.
Yeah. They didn't have one of those in
Mullet. No, I was looking forward to that because I was going to tail Tyler in and get him to buy my beers like he did for Jay.
Yes.
Oh, well, I do owe everyone one, I said. But yeah, Mullet was cool. What else was there? The resort we were at was awesome.
What's up with the citizens? Who was down there laying it down? I saw Chalmers around that fire. I'm just going to guess he sang country songs.
Yes.
Yes.
You know he did.
You know he did.
Garth Brooks?
Well, he loves a little George Strait.
He was singing Country Roads as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Classic.
How's Goat?
Goat's great.
Yeah.
Goat was great. He made these Nation Citizen medallions for everyone.
He made us all backpacks.
Oh, yeah. He made us Nation Citizen backpacks.
He's also, I was talking to him the night before we left, and he's so great. He's basically got our trip to Salt Lake City mapped out long before a team arrives.
I'm thinking like the team's going to move to Salt Lake City. This is no fun. But then I'm like, maybe everybody lives there like Goat.
There was a lot. Well, at Devil's Advocate, there was like three different Utah contingencies there.
They have to travel to have fun, I think, if you live in Utah.
Yes.
You got to have a good road game because your home stadium ain't that thrilling.
Yeah. Like, can they drink in the Delta Center?
It's a weird dry town, Salt Lake City. There's weird pockets. Rules. Yeah.
Yeah. Pockets. Well, it was funny because one of the Utah couples, I was trying to give them beers on the walk. I'm like, no. I'm like, sorry.
My bad.
Yep. Please don't judge me. I apologize.
Yeah.
Fresh oranges everywhere.
What? Fresh orange trees.
Just orange trees.
Orange trees all over the place outside.
You just pluck one?
I plucked several.
Yeah.
He was juggling them, throwing them in rivers.
Now, just hold on. You can juggle.
Giving them to people. You can juggle? I can, yeah. Pandemic skill.
How many? Really?
Yeah.
How many oranges can you juggle?
Just three. No more than three.
It's impressive. I'll never forget once I went to New York in 2003 and I was standing by the side of the road. And you know who Daz Dillinger is?
No.
Snoop's cousin. He's a member of the Dog Pound. Anyways, he pulled up to the lights and I'd never seen spinning rims before. Mm. And I'm like, that's Daz Dillinger. And I look down, I'm like, that's spinning rims. How can those rims do that? This is the experiences that you're having. Self-driving car, self-driving store, the tiny little arena. It's Daz Dillinger and the spinning rims all over again. You have to leave town to see things like that to blow your mind. You're never going to see that at the Oilers game.
You really get to understand, you know, because we work in an office and create content and, you know, the audience is real and we see them at events, but like, you know, we threw up a flare saying we're going to be doing live shows at Devil's Advocate and we had at least 200 people. And they're like, we packed that.
200 people?
Yeah,
the bar was
like,
packed.
When you like, you just never under, like the power of the community is insane. And you really see it when we do things like that, which is super cool.
I was talking to Rick earlier today and they're having a party and there are people who are going to be, they're calling in saying we're going to be in line at 3 a.m.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
For the party.
That's wild.
Living on the, and they're going coast to coast like this yeah. party.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's wild.
Eh? And they don't even do a Q&A. They don't do anything. They're just there. They're
just hanging out.
They're yeah. just vibing.
Just to look at them. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you guys had a show at least.
Yep.
Well, what cool. was funny was the PA was the only kind of issue you guys had really.
Yeah, that was
it. Just a little feedback. Bit of feedback at times, but at one point they were just kind of turned it down, but everybody was just super engaged in just party mode. It was a lot of fun as like an outsider, just kind of watching them do their thing. And I knew the show was on and then looking around at everybody that was just in pure celebration mode. It was so great.
I feel like there's more Oilers fans going to away games suddenly. I don't feel like this was such a big thing.
Well, yeah,
I think just maybe because during the decade of darkness, there wasn't as much of a reason to,
yeah,
or as much of a drive.
Now to be they like, travel well, like especially to markets where you have direct flights.
Yeah,
it's like thousands of Oilers fans.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. Especially when you start meeting people and like, you know, them by their YouTube name and you finally put like a face to the name and things like that. It was
that's
really
always
cool.
My favorite is when people like discover who someone else is from the internet.
Or it's like
original Puzar.
Oh man.
Remember that guy?
Oh yeah. He was there. He was chilling. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
I also like just the moments where like two people who are like commenters in the live show, like meet each other and are like, oh, I'm this guy. Oh my God. I'm this guy. I see you in the comments all the time.
They just
like,
start throwing bombs on each other.
beating the shit out of each other. But yeah, that was a great trip. We had such a good crew, down with us. I think in terms of like doing stuff as a big crew as well, like that. And I don't know if it was just like the hotel because of the big sitting areas and things that.
It definitely helps. It helps because it lent us be able to host better.
Yeah.
The best moment on the trip for me to see the kind of group of citizens that we had with us was on after night one, Jay and I left our room to go down for breakfast. And as we're walking through that courtyard or whatever, you see a group of probably 10, 12 of the trip goers. They all had shots of Fireball. They were all crushing beers and it was not yet 9:30 a.m.
Yeah.
That was the vibe though. It was a great vibe.
People just wanted to hang out.
Pedal to the floor, all gas, no brakes.
47 hours.
We should have knew it was coming though when we made the bus pull over to stock up for the weekend and 30 people flooded off into a tiny
self-driving or human driven.
I wish human,
unfortunately. So the bus driver just like pulled over and threw his hazards on in like the right lane.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure his understanding was like one of us was going to go in and grab a case of beer.
That was the original idea, but then he decided to do it 3 minutes out from the hotel.
Yeah.
So then it's like, well, let's just get rations, everyone.
And he was very nervous because he was like, if a cop comes, I'm just on the side of the road. What's gonna? But it all worked out.
And you look at him, you're like, you're going to be replaced soon. And then just went in the liquor store.
Yeah.
We didn't know about the autonomous cars at that point.
Well, there's a pullover button on it. I bet you would have clicked it. It would have pulled over perfectly.
We were going to call support just to tell them they did a great job.
The first thing that leaps off the mind is how many people are going to lose their jobs by these self-driving cars. But let me ask you this, bag milk.
Yes.
What was the number one industry in the world in 1900?
I'm going to imagine fiddle playing.
Indeed. Feathers. Mm-hmm. No. Whaling.
Oh, yes.
Right? So we can invent
whales.
Petroleum. We need to mine whales for all of our lantern oil. Isn't all the wild? Whalers will be laid off.
How many whales died so you could have lantern fuel oil?
That was a leap forward from sitting in the dark.
I know.
Right?
Jesus.
So my point is like, I think 1 in 6 people are currently employed driving some sort of piece of machinery. So like short-term self-driving vehicles at scale is going to cause a lot of problems. But go ask all the whalers in 2024 how they earn a living. They found a way. They readapted. Right? They found a new... The Hartford Whalers lost their team.
Goddamn. Yeah, it's always, I mean, whatever. Pros and cons. It's similar to media too, right? When it's like, oh, traditional media, like radio's dying. I remember when I was like going to radio, so it was like, oh, radio will just be obsolete in 5 years. Why would you do this? Like TV's going to be obsolete in 5 years. But then like for every traditional radio job that's lost, there's like a successful podcast somewhere that needs to employ 8 people to like keep itself running, right?
I can remember watching a thing with Warren Buffett, and this lady stood up in the audience in a Q&A, and she's like, I'm just so worried about losing my job and technology replacing everybody and blah, 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 blah. What would you have to say to that? And he's like, ma'am, the market rewards expertise. So you just got to get good at something.
Yeah.
Right. And even if, like, radio, for example, the people who were in radio who were like, I'm not participating on social media.
Yeah.
I don't need to. I'm on K97. I can speak to my audience through that. I'm not going to take it upon myself to start Twitter. You kind of got left behind.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right. Whereas there are people in town who had really good social media, like a guy like Jespo doesn't work at Chet anymore. He's been able to adapt.
Spoke to the prime minister.
And then the prime minister was tweeting him as a way. It was wild on Twitter.
I'd like to make this about me briefly, if I could. Mm-hmm. Sure. I was texting with Ryan Jesperson yesterday, I would just like to say, and I was getting annoyed because he was taking a long time to answer me, and I was asking him some questions. Then I went on social media and saw he was talking to the literal prime minister. And I was like, this is why I don't reach out to people. This is exactly why I was mad at a man who was interviewing the prime minister. Unbelievable. I think Jespo's done a great job.
Yeah, I mean, that show just blew up, right? And it came because he got fired.
And he's done it at a national scale. Like, yeah. There are people listening to him from all around.
Yeah.
He's got his own studio and shit like that. I don't know. The people who go first, like, that was born of necessity that he had to do that.
Yeah.
I respect people that can see it through. Yeah. It's easier to give up.
Yep. All right. We need to quickly step aside for a quick ad break.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Got to give some love to our friends at DoorDash. For a limited time, our Canadian listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code NATION25. That's 25% off up to a $10 value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the promo code NATION25. Groceries, pharmacies, delivery food, it can all come right to your door with DoorDash. That might be the future. It might be. You can also, if you're of age, get some brewskis brought to your door. Yep. The possibilities are endless with our friends at DoorDash. You can even take advantage of the double dash feature, which allows your driver to stop at a second restaurant or location and pick up some more stuff for no deliveries. Find out more about it. Dash that for the brewskis. Win.
Yeah. And if you make a living driving something and you're worried about your job, you could be the person to call people and tell them to buckle up.
Cynthia, shout out to her.
She probably ran a pool of 200,000 cars, but you know, she makes a living. Imagine doing that all day long.
Excuse me. It would be great pleasant. If she would have called him by his name too. Excuse me, Rick, you are not wearing your seatbelt.
She was very pleasant. That's for sure.
Should we talk about the Oilers game last night?
I am very upset. Disappointed. With Evander Kane.
Oh, am I ever.
And it's not even
overtime. You don't love a double pad stack?
It's not even the overtime I'm mad about. Why did the coach put him out? Especially like when he did the things he did, you know, to give up the go-ahead goal in the third. And
he was awful all night.
Yeah. Great hits. He had some hits and stuff, but like, oh man.
That pass through the middle. But okay, so like that was
to no one.
It was a dumb idea, but also I think he looked and saw Corey Perry. Corey Perry had like one hand on his stick with his stick up in the air and just didn't take a hard stride either. So it's like, why is that guy passing the puck there? Why is the other guy not skating even relatively hard? And then when it came down to make a defensive play, Perry just kind of stood there and was like, huh? So both of them are at fault on that goal for me. But then Evander Kane, one, he didn't help himself throughout that game. He made a dumb icing. He made a handful of other decisions where it's like he was throwing the puck to nobody. He had a brutal game before overtime.
Yeah, I think bringing him into OT was a poor coaching decision.
There's that. But like, what's the deal with the second period?
Oh, I know again.
Why?
Again.
Outscored 6-5 in their last six games.
Like the even 16 the first to five? Period, those first two periods, we were outclassed. They were pushing the pace. That game was moving.
Yeah.
And we were fumble fucking.
Fifth straight game under 900 for Stu too.
Yeah, it's a little concerning considering how good he was for like 2.5 months.
He didn't even have a stretch like this in October, November.
I know.
You want to hear something crazy?
Yeah.
Some kid DM'd the Nation and said, I'm at the hooky game right now for the Oil Kings, and I swear to you, Jack Campbell's here.
I don't think that's true.
But then I DM'd the kid and said, send me a picture, you liar. And I said, liar, and he didn't reply. Having said that, what if Jack Campbell was in town? What is he doing?
Jack Campbell's unfollowed the Oilers on social media.
Did he really?
That's not a good sign.
That's what I saw. I haven't actually checked it.
I love when people find that stuff out.
That counteracts a 12-year-old texting me he saw Jack Campbell at the hooky game.
Why would he know?
Yeah.
12-year-olds.
You know who else popped up? Was Tommy Salo.
Yeah, I saw that picture too.
So Swede? Is he a Swede? Yeah, he's a Swede.
Yeah, Swede.
Swedish dude not named Tommy Salo took a picture with Tommy Salo.
He's still following the Oilers. That was fake.
Well, then see you. Oh, hey, I
know. Some misinformation spreads.
I don't know.
But yeah, Tommy Salo's boy took a photo with Tommy Salo, still wearing an Oilers hat in 2024. And I followed him, and then he liked our photo. He was a good Oiler. I liked Tommy Salo back then.
Oh, yeah.
Damned Olympics.
Took that shot off the noggin, and he was never, ever the same.
Belarus.
Until that point.
Just to go back to Evander Kane quickly, that decision to not skate even remotely hard after that puck in overtime is one of the most mind-numbing things I've ever seen in a hockey game.
Because you were there last night too.
Yeah.
Was that in your attacking zone?
No, it was on the other end. So that's why, like, when it first happened, I was like, what the hell did I just watch? Why did he think he could go for a change there?
Yeah.
And then that's why I tweeted after. I was like, did I miss something? Like, did the broadcast show like an angle of, but no, he just straight up was like, eh. And people were trying to defend him day on Owen every day. And they're like, you're being a Kane hater. Why are you doing this?
Blah, blah. I don't really like Kane, but that was, man.
But also, this was my counterpoint. If that pass would have been on his tape, think he would have gone for a change? Think he would have just, you know, maybe regrouped, thrown it back? No. He would have had 10 hard strides in him to go in on the breakaway. And I don't know. I'm frustrated with
him. Is he falling off? What the hell is going on?
I think so.
But at the same point, he's also got 20 goals. So he's got
20 goals too, which is like mind blowing because it doesn't feel like he's having it's a trickery. Good year. Very streaky,
but that's okay. If you can streak your way to 20 goals by bloody. But
the downsides are just like the lows in the streakiness are so low that it's like painful.
Is this his contract year?
No, he's 2 more years. That's why people are saying maybe this summer you try to do something there, but
the car drove itself. 2 more years. Jeez Louise.
I was really pissed off after that one last night. And then I woke up this morning and I was like, yeah, down 4-1 to the Bruins, find a way to get a point.
Oh, yeah. Like there's a lot to be positive about it. But it's like, oh, my God, like they were doing enough to win that game.
And then just the power like play some dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't that good.
Swayman made a great save on Dry.
Swayman had a rough game, but showed up in OT.
Evan Bouchard missed high and wide 3 consecutive times on that power play.
Went out.
Yeah, that was annoying.
If I may, thoughts on Evan Bouchard, Jay? I know you're his number one detractor.
I have never criticized his offensive ability.
No, but that's criticizes as a man.
So my own, and I'll unpack this and call it Bouchard hate, whatever. But he's not a number one defenseman. And I know the comments like, oh, there's only 10 number ones in the NHL. It's because his defensive game isn't that good. So he can't play the minutes required to get like big money, but he's going to get big money and that's going to disrupt the whole kind of cap situation. Yeah. But Jay, the cap's going up. Well, you got to pay McDavid. You got to pay Drysdale.
Oh, so you're suggesting we keep Connor McDavid instead of Evan Bouchard? Well, that'd be who you'd pick. Winning Evan Bouchard.
Yeah, that's my only thing. It's
could he win a Norris with his all offense, no defensive?
No.
What do you mean? Erik Karlsson did it last year.
Well,
I don't think Bush is ever going to put up like 105 points. Or
well, he is not far four off points like away from tying an Oilers record.
He is a point machine, but he's a guy. Era. But he's a guy that you should only play like 18 to 20 minutes a night. Give him a lot of offensive like zone starts and put him in a chance.
But he also is their best puck distributor coming out of the zone.
Yes, and I agree. His passing is good, and once again, offensive thinking, but like easy to push off the puck and stuff like that. So like I like him, but my whole concern is that it's a ticking time bomb because we're gonna pay him way too much money.
Oh yeah, big time,
and that's my issue. Then we've got
him and Nurse.
Then we're in cap hell again, right? So. But it's hard not to because his points are so good. So, like, it's a shame that we had to bridge him. We could have got him on a good kind of number for 8 years.
Oh, but you would have shit your pants if they signed him to an 8x7.
I wouldn't say shit my pants. I'd probably be like,
shart your pants.
A shart. But, like, I'd be like, you know what, though? I can live with that.
It's you like would have been so
it's
pissed.
Just yeah, funny to me because
but I can live with it.
We've tried to make mountains into molehills for our defensive core since time began, and we actually have a guy now who's like shoveling points out.
Yeah, but I love that. We like, and it's,
but he's got this liability element to him I think is really kind of hilarious.
But you know what, I'll give him props. So last night he won that foot race to get that puck.
Yeah.
You know, that was, you know, that
he actually makes a lot of like sneaky good defensive plays. Like his stick is really good. So I like
see, him. I'm from the school where you just can't pay defense enough money. Look at Jones. I mean, he's done a wonderful job in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Remember he showed up on that private jet when they signed him and he got off looking rich? Been awesome.
Yeah. But I'll ask you this. Who should be paid more money? Evan Bouchard or Roman Josi?
Yeah, but that's just not comparable because one guy is going to end up signing his contract like 6 years after the other guy, right?
Well, it's not 6 years.
By the time Bouchard's up next year.
But Josi's a legit number one.
Yeah, Josi is a legit number one.
And what should he make?
What should he make playing, you know, if he wasn't in a no tax state, right? And if he didn't have that loyalty factor as well of wanting to be in Nashville for his career, like there's a ton of factors at play there.
I know. And that's when the next CBA, all that shit needs to be resolved somehow.
The tax stuff.
It's tough to do the tax, but they got to figure out the tax.
Bush is still going to be an RFA when his deal expires too.
Well, so. I know it's great, but it's, you got to,
I bet you Bush ends up
coming in. He'll get offer sheeted if you pay him too low.
I bet you Bush would come in at like, they'll give him like 9.5.
So that's a lot of fucking money.
But the people who are like 11.6, it's like, shut up. What are you talking about?
Like, I know, man. I know.
What does the Janmark extension look like? That's what I want to know.
Look, when they brought Carlson to
CeCe.
When they got Carlson to Pittsburgh, it's gone great. It's gone great. He's worth every penny.
That's a mess. Anyways, still not big on Yammerk. I didn't think he had that good of a game, but he scored. So
back-to-back games.
That. Yeah, he is getting hot.
One of my favorite parts of Mullet Arena was watching Matthias Janmark score and everyone yelling at Tyler about it.
It was pretty funny. That was good. Connor Brown almost scored yesterday too.
Sure,
he's due.
Corey Perry, meanwhile, he just big goal and a scrap.
That scrap was good.
It was a good scrap.
That was a good fight.
He kind of jumped the guy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's pissed. The guy was fucking around with Connor.
That's why he's been on the rat list for two decades.
Yes.
Oh man. And then he scored that goal and his celebration of just like his face doesn't change. And he's like, puts his arms out and is like, I was sitting next to him.
What? That's how you saw that? You didn't see like the emotion behind that?
Literally.
You're slagging him for that? Like,
no, I'm not slagging him at all. I thought it was sick. I thought it was hilarious.
Like it was like a stone stoic fucking look. And he's like,
look, Evan Bouchard is on pace to make twice what the director of the Bank of Canada makes annually. And if you can't figure out the value of that, I can't even speak ice hockey to you.
Well, I wasn't slagging Perry. I just thought that was like a very Corey Perry kind of celebration where like his facial expression just remained the same. And he's like, put his arms up.
But you didn't see like the strength in those eyes. Like he was looking through you.
A little bit of swagger in that. So it happened like right in front of me where me and my old man sit. Like I did.
In the face with his eyes.
I don't think I've seen my dad laugh that hard all year. It killed him. He couldn't get enough of it.
So 5 points through 9 games, 3 goals, 2 assists. First thoughts on Corey Perry.
He's got more points than Connor Brown.
Is that bad?
At least his
McLeod did Brown dirty.
Like that was a bad pass.
And then he was even pissed. Like McLeod was even pissed about it.
But yeah.
Magic. I think Corey Perry's as advertised.
He's fitting in.
Yeah.
Were you at the game last night?
No.
So they do, you know, they have those player animations, right?
Yeah.
So they have one for Perry now too. They do a little Scory Perry thing.
It's like,
no, that's Evan Bouchard.
And then they play the Corey in the House theme song after.
Evan Bouchard's animation is just him at the bank being like, whoa.
What's Corey? Corey what?
Oh, that's a good generational thing. That would have been like a Disney Channel show that was popular when I was like 8 years old.
What show?
Corey in the House.
I couldn't afford the Disney Channel, so. Nah.
And it would have been way past your time, obviously. But it is. They played it. I don't know. I got a chuckle out of it. Yeah, I thought that was
funny. Couldn't afford the Disney Channel in 2012? When he was 8? Come on.
Well, at that point, I was too old for it.
Come on now.
Yeah.
He wasn't on YTV. I didn't see it.
He's 100% as
you had a cable box in your room, sir. That was impressive. I remember going in your room and be like, damn, he's got an actual cable box.
Old TV. I needed
but a you cable got a box. Million
it was
channels.
A converter
to you had it. Super Channel.
It had channel 13, and then I had to get the converter to unlock.
Don't
the
you
other
posh
channels.
Spice us and mention that your dad's role
was a thing?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I found a free TV that had the dial to 13, which was like, that was the max channels back in the day.
And you.
And then you can buy this converter to unlock the north of 13 channels.
Huh. You had that in your room.
In my room.
Super Channel in your room meant you're a boss. Sorry, that's the...
We did have the Super Channel
back. I always felt that about the kids who had their own phone line in the room.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought that was so cool as a kid, too.
I thought it was amazing.
We had that where no flex. And in the phone book, it said kids phone underneath our parents' name. Just to don't even bother the adults. Just dial down below.
So that's
we'd
like
answer. There
seems
a fire
like an invitation.
Going on. People are screaming. Children.
That seems like an invitation for predators.
Well, you know what? In those days, if you were a EDO, you just look for those. And
the idea of phone books also very weird.
They still drop them off in my house every once a year. And I'm just like, why?
Really?
Yeah. I get a phone book once a year.
Speaking of technology slapping you in the face, I can remember hearing about Alta Vista and them like being like, there's no need for Yellow Pages anymore. And I remember like looking at the Yellow Pages that you'd get in those days and being like, all this money isn't going to stop spending on the Yellow Pages. Are you crazy, search engines? How fast was it? The fact that you still get a Yellow Pages, I don't think one's shown up.
They're thin. They're not very big, though, anymore. They're
it's like
very, very
mainly
thin.
Businesses.
Cremation
be,
services. Yeah. The only people.
Because that's the only people that will flip through it.
These doctors and
yeah.
Well, no, fair enough. Anyways, we have a party coming up this Saturday at Greta. If you're listening to this, you're in the Edmonton area. Come on down. It's a BOA. You get a prepaid shot when Edmonton scores their first goal. You got to buy your tickets at nationgear.ca, but you get a swag bag at the door. We're going to be giving away a ton of prizes as well. It's an 8 o'clock puck drop on a Saturday night. So, you know, everyone's going to be, we'll say, properly lubricated as well. It's going to be a good time out at Greta on Saturday night.
Raise some money for charity.
Raise some money. All the proceeds go to support free play for kids as well. So when you buy that ticket, not only do you get kind of all the stuff I laid out, but the proceeds all go to a great cause as well. You going to be there, BM?
Yeah, of course.
And we also have some of our out of town friends, I think, will swing by.
I'm actually coming here on Saturday afternoon. We're going to cord a Better Late Than Never with Dukes. And then we're going to make our way down to Greta together.
Nice.
I like that.
Waz is at Greta with Dukes last night.
Yeah.
Waz is hung out with Dukes back to back nights.
I'm going out for dinner with him tonight.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Where are you going?
I don't know yet.
Dukes went for Oodle Noodle yesterday.
Attaboy.
Gentlemen.
Take your note back. He'll be blown away.
Bloomin' Onion?
Yeah.
Who doesn't have a who has a good time with Bloomin' Onion? Everybody.
Buy him a Foster's.
Give him a Foster's.
Oh, mate.
Duke's from Australia. Jack is one of the gentlemen from England.
There's a lot of foreign fans in town.
Jack McCarthy. There's another one from England.
Jericho? Is that
yeah, there you go. Russ Jericho. Yeah. And then there's the gentleman from Illinois as well.
Russ Brandon. Has got that Oilers, like, blades not shade sunglasses that he wears.
Sick.
Are either of those Donkey Volley?
No.
Okay.
No, Doggy Volley couldn't make it over.
Gotcha.
He was getting a good badgering from Dukes after taking a selfie outside of Roger's place in our group chat on Instagram.
Badger.
Group chat on Instagram?
Oh, yeah. The three of us have a group chat on Instagram.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty cool to see people making Edmonton like a spot to go to just because they love the Oilers so much.
Well, it should be.
I know. It's the best.
Edmonton's a shit. City of Champions.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's like you take like a lot of pride when people are like, oh, I'm coming all the way to Edmonton to watch the Oilers. It's like, fucking rights you are.
If you're listening to this podcast and you're not from Edmonton, I dare you to come here. And if you are from Edmonton, I'd ask you to leave for an extended period of time and then return to see how great this city is.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing I do find about Edmonton is when you do travel, you realize how good you have it here.
Well, there's no self-driving cars
yet.
Yeah. You know what? I'm also okay driving my.
You know what messes with my high self-esteem of being an Edmontonian, though? Did you see Theo Vaughn talking about coming here?
Oh, yeah. I've heard some of it.
It's hilarious. Like, I like Theo Vaughn. He's a comedian. So he's trying to say things. But the two things he said about Edmonton, they're so funny. He's like, so I get to Edmonton and I'm like, where are all the people? I see the houses. I see the buildings, but I don't see any people. And it's like quasi hilariously true.
Yeah.
And then it's a bit about sirens.
Yeah.
He's like, they just drive around with their sirens on being like, we're on our way to an embezzlement. We're, this is a big city.
It's all just, yeah, we're just pretending to be a big city. So we always just have
drive around with their sirens on. Yeah. It's kind of true.
An embezzlement.
I walked here today and I didn't see a single human being the entire time I walked.
We
here.
Are. Well, this is the thing we need to break. We're a little weird in the winter.
What, minus 90?
Minus. Today's a great day.
Beautiful day. Walk to work.
Like, you go other places and people are just walking around. You go to Europe and cold countries and they're just walking around.
Where should we go, though?
Mogadishu.
Go for a coffee. Go get some groceries. Maybe have a bite to eat. Go. I don't know. Go.
I haven't got groceries for myself in a long time.
Yeah, go walk to the grocery store, man.
No, thanks. I'd rather somebody else pick up my groceries for me. I'll save that time.
Fair enough.
Except produce.
Caveat. Yes, it's online groceries. The produce game is.
I got to get my own produce.
Whack.
They're hitting you with the whack shit.
But everything else you can grab for me, I'll go get my own produce.
Yeah, it's later. All the expired stuff.
Yep.
It's a game within the game.
All right. Well, I know we have a hard out at 2:30.
Jay would know. He was the produce guy.
But I wasn't around for online produce delivery.
But when you receive a poor item of produce, I imagine it upsets.
Imagine
you
showing Terralosa Jay, like, okay, here's Uber. Here's how people are ordering their groceries. Here's what a cell phone looks like in the future. Here's a self-driving car theoretically coming to pick up your shit.
Yep.
You would be blown away by the future.
Hell yeah.
Do you still need a converter box in the future? Let me show you what a flat screen looks like, my friend. Flat screen.
Final 60 seconds of the pod. We angry that Vegas is up to their old shenanigans again.
Oh, well, Mark Stone's out again.
Yeah. So Frank says, sounds like Vegas Mark Stone is dealing with a lacerated spleen.
Yeah,
doesn't sound enjoyable. Timeline is tough to pin down with an injury of that nature, but it's obviously a significant one.
Let me have a look at that spleen.
Circumventing the cap with a fake injury.
Does that mean you have to get it? Does he have to get it removed or it's just cut?
I don't know.
A lacerated spleen.
Laceration means cut.
But I like that it's an injury that could definitely just be, you know, how are you feeling, Mark? Oh, not great. Maybe need another 6 days. When's the first playoff game? Five days?
But I think I think you have to go and diagnose.
Yeah, you're right. I know.
It's not like, oh, my spleen hurts. I can't play.
Mark, we're going to need you to lacerate your own spleen.
Yeah. But it's
boy, just, are we in cap hell.
And if it's all legit, it's just annoying that it's happening. Imagine we had Jack Campbell on LTIR right now.
He's magically. In Edmonton.
Maybe he's trying to go on LTIR. I don't know. But imagine if just 5 million of cap space just opened up.
Fell out of the sky.
Oh my God.
That'd be amazing.
Are you suggesting a hit on Jack Campbell? You want a Nancy Kerrigan?
Well, I don't want to lose anyone on the roster right now. Who can we afford to lose? He's got significant cap hit.
Evan Bouchard sucks.
No, but he's only 3.9, but we need him.
No, yeah.
Kane.
Yeah.
I was hoping
can't take
that
him
last year. Yeah, but that doesn't, you can bury him.
Yeah, you can bury him. You can just send him.
Yeah.
Fire him in the sun.
Maybe Nuge. I love Nuge, but he's already sick.
Good Lord.
Maybe,
they needed him last night.
Maybe he can be sick for 3 months or 2 months.
I saw a photo that our dear friend of the show, Johnny Winwick, posted of the Nuge and Derek Ryan, I think, doing an event. The Nuge looks amazing.
It was great.
He's got that slick hair now. He doesn't look like a baby anymore. He's got $200-300 million in his bank account. The Nuge is looking fantastic.
Model Nuge.
He is, man.
Yeah, dapper. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't like that dad when he Nuge. First got in the league.
Yeah, dad Nuge.
Girl dad.
Just goes to show you that.
Yep, your fashion game. Can't you tell?
All you need is 60 or 70 million bucks and you too could be good looking.
Kind of is most of the battle. Not even half the battle. It's most of the battle. Yeah. All right. That's a wrap on today's episode of the pod. We'll be back on Monday and we hope to see you Saturday at Greta. Get your tickets. Get your tickets at nationgear.ca. We'll see you then.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.